So part two today, self-examination, how and why. And I guess I probably should have put on the screens self-examination, why and how. Because last week was the why, and this week is the how. And I had said that we need to do this examination of ourselves to ensure not just that there's no sin in our lives, but there really is no small start of sin in our lives. We examine to ensure that what we're doing is not wrong in the eyes of Adonai, but we also examine to make sure we're doing what's right in the eyes of Adonai. And although I called this last week part one and today part two, really there's not an overlap. So if you missed the first part, you can pick it up right from here. But I do encourage you that if you missed the first part, to go back, look into our website or go into YouTube and find that first part. This week, I want to talk about how to do that self-examination. I'll be looking at three steps to take when doing a self-review. And I'll say that the first and second, although they may not be the same, they go together in a way that I'm not sure you can do one without the other. What I can say without doubt is that the first two have to happen before the third one can be successful. So here are the steps. The first one, we must be honest with ourselves. We have to remove the barriers that stop us from seeing the things that are within and ahead of us. These things really are not the things that are with us and are ahead of us on the path. But these obstacles that we're going to look for are the things within us. The second is we must allow the Ruach to help us through the process. When we try to do things on our own, we're only able to do them as well as we're able to. But we should want to do better than that. We should want to do as well as Adonai can do them, really, and what the Ruach would do within us. Third, we must put the effort into the change as we see those things that need to be changed. Once we allow ourselves to see the issues within, and we allow ourselves to accept the help of the Ruach, then we need to expel energy to do the work that needs to be done. It would be great if the Ruach would do it all, that we could just sit back and just wait for the corrections to be made in our lives and in our spirits. But Adonai is not looking for a spectator in us, but for a partner to cause change within us. So now, let's look at each of these steps, flesh them out, put scripture to better understand them and apply them to our lives. So we said the first one was, we must be honest with ourselves. The famous Reformed Baptist pastor Charles Spurgeon is quoted as saying, "Beware of no man more than yourself. We carry our own worst enemies within us." Now, I have to believe that just as our ultimate enemy, Satan, wants to keep us blinded from the truth so that we're our own worst enemies, when we're not honest with ourselves, when we look for or see the truth, there are plenty of people in the world that would just rather not know who they really are or what their weaknesses are or what their sins are. They'd rather go on in life thinking that they're the best that they can be, regardless of what the truth really is about themselves. The belief that they have that says that they're the best they can be is really a kind of humorous or pride. They're not willing to look for what's wrong with themselves because they don't believe there could be anything wrong with themselves. As followers of Messiah, Yeshua, we must not be that way. We are not only called to be humble enough to know that we're hurting, but be humble enough to allow the Ruach to tell us why we're hurting instead of trying to figure it out by ourselves. There are self-help books all over the place about every single thing you could need help about. But they never address the issue that we are not able to really do anything good for ourselves without Adonai being with us as an agent for change. The verses that Yeshua says in Matthew 5 addressing just this, and they are often misinterpreted by so many people. Here's the start of the Drash on the Mount, or the Sermon on the Mount. And it's fitting that it should start this way. So Matthew 5, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What does it mean to be poor in spirit, or one who mourns, or who's meek? It is impossible to be any of these things if you have hubris within you. Each of these attributes are the start of being humble before the God who created you. We have to bow and approach Adonai and allow the Ruach to show us where we are and where we should be. We need to allow the Ruach to show us our own sins, because this is not easy for many people or for many of the sins. We must first understand and consider that sin is invisible if not looked for in the correct way. It hides, it disguises itself as something that's worthy to be in our lives. It masks the truth and positions itself between you and the truth so that all you can see is the sin that looks like it's supposed to be there. It's fooling you into thinking it's not sin. This is the danger of not being honest with ourselves, that we will delight in the false front that Satan places before us. To see the honest truth, we need to push aside the false image or the sin. We need to push it aside so that we can see the hidden truth that's hiding behind it. Sin is hoping that we don't see it, but instead that we're fooled into being happy with this false truth that it places in front of us, which becomes a barrier between you and Adonai. Listen to what Shaul said, the Apostle Paul, to the Galatians in Galatians 6, starting in verse 3. "For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he is fooling himself. Rather, let each one examine his own work. Then he will have pride in himself alone and not in comparison to anyone else." When you do this self-examination, you are not to compare yourself to anyone but the Scripture. Not even with your old self. We can see an example of this very early on in Scripture. When Cain brought the wrong offering, Adonai did not accept Cain's offering, and Cain became angry with Adonai. When he was angry at the Lord because Adonai did not accept what he thought was his best, he was not honest with himself by not accepting that it was his fault for not listening to Adonai, but instead listening to himself. He placed his thoughts over Adonai's thoughts. He got angry because he refused to be honest with himself and to admit his error. Cain needed to be humble enough to examine himself in a way that we're told to do in 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Messiah Yeshua is in you, unless indeed you failed the test? Cain was in the presence of Adonai, as well as we are in the presence of Adonai by the Ruach HaKodesh within and among us. Therefore, we also need to test our faith by being truthful and humble enough to recognize our current state each day, to know if we're following the instructions of Adonai. This is not a one-time thing, because you can be walking rightly in one moment and in the very next moment be off the path. This constant rechecking and re-verification in our lives is because of what we're told in 1 John. 1 John 1, 8, starting there. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say that we don't sin, then we're lying to ourselves and to Adonai. We need to do that brutally honest self-examination, acknowledging the truth that we are not righteous ourselves, but only with Adonai. We cannot just know about him or be near him, but we have to be with Adonai, allowing him to be within us by the Ruach. Now, this is not a call to beat yourself up until you find sin within yourself. If there's something to be addressed and you have the Ruach helping you to search out your heart, he will call it out in a gentle way. We do not need to beat ourselves up. We only need to be honest with ourselves and follow the Ruach's prompting. By now we've seen that the first and the second step really are, they really do go hand in hand. Perhaps they should be called 1 and 1A. So now we get to the second step, which is we must allow the Ruach to help us. We can be honest with ourselves, but without the help of the Ruach, we may honestly be fooling ourselves. We cannot see what we don't really want to see, even if we give it an honest effort. Therefore, the help of the Ruach is necessary for the honest self-examination if we are to be successful. Whether we like it or not, the heart is a very hard thing to search and to know, even and maybe even especially our own hearts. We are told this by the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17 when he says this, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? I, Adonai, search the heart. I try the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You know, this kind of sounds like we're opening ourselves up to a lot of pain, since we're being told that we are deceitful, or at least our heart is deceitful. And that's no way to be before Adonai. But this is not a warning that you are in for a world of hurt, but that you will, but if you allow the Ruach to come alongside of you to do a more in-depth searching of your heart, then you're not looking forward to pain, but looking forward to the help in dealing with the sins that are found hidden. Yeshua didn't come to hurt God's creation, but to help. Look what his words are in John 14. John 14, 16, starting there. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. You know him because he abides in you, he abides with you, and will be in you. If we keep his commandments, which really is loving him, then Yeshua will, as the Father, send the Ruach, who will be with you forever and will be your helper in all things. That includes looking within yourself, within your heart, to see whether you're falling short. Without the help of the Ruach, I can say that there will be hidden corners in your heart that you will not be able to see into. Even when we try, they're dark and they're unsearchable on our own efforts. That is just the way a fleshly heart is. It has hidden places and hidden thoughts that only the Ruach can bring to light. It's why we need his help. Once brought into the light, then they can be dealt with in the appropriate way. When they're revealed to us, we can work on them, which we will talk about in a moment. For there are those things that are hidden from us, even within our own hearts, that we're not able to see on our own. This is why King David said in Psalm 26:2, probe me, Adonai, test me, refine my mind and my heart. King David knew that he wasn't able to fully look within to do this kind of self-examination that's required without the help of the Ruach. Now, if he was able to do it himself, he just would have and wouldn't have to ask for the help. But he couldn't, and we can't. This is why he wrote just a few chapters earlier in Psalm 19 this. Psalm 19:13, who can discern his errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults. David says, God, you know that I am not able to do this on my own. There are things I cannot see within myself, so please help me by looking into me, cleansing me of the things that I cannot see. This need for help is not a weakness that any one person has, but it's a weakness that we all have, made of flesh. That's just part of us. This is why Job said in Job 13:23, how many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgressions and my sin. We need to actually ask the Ruach to help us to see the sins that we have hidden in our hearts. Once we do ask the Ruach to do that searching, then we must not be afraid of the answer. We may not like the answer, but the answer will be good for us because then we can take that next step in dealing with it. And we see this again in Psalm 139 where it says this. Psalm 139, starting in 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any offensive way within me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now you got to know, the psalmist there has done some searching on his own already. And now he's asking for help by the Ruach to get that which he couldn't see himself. There is but one who will know our heart better than we know our own, and that's God himself. The Ruach being one with the Father means that it's God that we're asking to search our hearts for what we cannot see or know about on our own. Then the psalmist goes that next step and says, lead me in the way everlasting. Now, almost every version that I looked at says the same words. But the easy-to-read version has a clearer way of saying it. It says, lead me on the path that has always been right. You know, sometimes we just have to go to the easiest thing we can find, the easiest reading version that we can find. Now, I remember as a new believer, we had bought our daughter Robin a child's Bible. It was a full version, but it was written for children. And as new believers, we found it very helpful to go back to that version every once in a while when we needed to see something a little more clearly than at that point we were reading the NIV. And the NIV is not a hard thing to read, but sometimes you need to go even easier. And there's nothing wrong with that. The psalmist says to get me back onto your path that has always been right for me. Correct my ways and get me back to walking in the way that I should, he says. I could not see the sin, but it caused me to walk in a way that I shouldn't have been walking. So now that I see it, help me back to the right path. Now this leads us to the final step in the self-examination that we're doing. That third step is we must put the effort into the change as we see the need for the changes. Looking back into the Tree of Life version, it says, to lead me in the way everlasting. How many of us know that we can be shown the way, but it's still up to us to make the decision to go that way? And then make the effort to go that way. It may mean climbing a mountain or crossing a desert, but it's going to require both the decision being made as well as the effort in doing it. Just walking means that the effort to walk was made. Our decision alone does not make the issue taken care of. If I decide that I need my car washed, I've made the decision. Doesn't mean my car is clean yet. Until I make the effort to wash the car on my driveway or drive it through a car wash, it hasn't changed. It's still dirty. I make the decision to wash the car. It's not enough. And looking at my car, it's plainly obvious it's not enough. Our lives are the same way. We can make the conscious decision to change or do, but without the expending of energy, it does not get done. There are times in Scripture that we see the hand of the Lord moving to get something done, but almost always the people need to join along with the Lord to get something done. This is what we hear in Psalm 119. Psalm 119:59. I have considered my ways and turned my feet back to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to obey your mitzvot. What we see is that the psalmist first acknowledges the way that he should go, and then he turned his feet to get back to the ways of Adonai. He made the effort to do what he decided to do. Knowing was not enough. There was energy that had to be expended. Sometimes that energy is in the form of a mental exercise. But that will only mean that you decided to do something. Most of the time, the energy is in the form of a physical expenditure. The exercise of doing is the way that things get done, both first in the spiritual and then in the physical. This is what we see in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin. Let us run with endurance the race set before us. First, we get rid of the sin that most of the time really is a mental decision to do something differently or to stop doing something. Then we're to run the race with endurance or make the effort to move from where you were to where you want to be. We have to decide to do and then do what you've decided to do. If we make a move before we hear from Adonai and decide, that's just as bad as not moving after we've heard from Adonai and make the decision. Actions can be very hard sometimes, but necessary if we are to accomplish what we have decided to do. They can involve many people around us, but when we're talking about the sin in your life, then what we're talking about is doing it on your own with the Ruach. Doing a hard thing that Adonai wants you to do. Sometimes it's doing the things that no one else will ever see. That does not make them unimportant. And sometimes that's what makes them important. And sometimes it's with the support and help of those around you that you need to do. Remember, we do not do the things to be seen by others, only by Adonai. We stop doing what is wrong not because of others, but because of Adonai. We do what is right not because of others, but because of Adonai. All that we do because of Adonai. Or at least that should be why we do everything we do. Any other reason means that you're doing it for the wrong reason. When it comes to sin, we may even be encouraged by the world to continue the sin so that they don't feel alone in their sin. But we are to stop sinning so that we will be right with God and not with the world. There are only three things that we have to do to do this self-examination. And you know, there can be sub-steps into each one of them that can be added. But in the overall picture, there are only three things that we have to do. First, we must be honest with ourselves. Next, we must allow the Ruach to help us. And third, we must put the effort into the change when we see the changes that need to be made. We do these three steps to get rid of the sins that are either hiding or that we get used to and don't even consider them sins any longer. The most dangerous part of sin is the moment we stop considering it a threat. This is why Satan puts so much effort into convincing the world that, hey, there's no Satan. If he can convince the world that he's not a threat, then he can become very dangerous to everybody. If we become convinced that the sin is not so bad, and that we can do whatever we want, and there's no consequences, that is when sin will run wild in our lives. It is for this reason that we have to be true to the Word and not the world. We have to look within ourselves to see where we are, not in comparison to others or the world, but to the standard we set. Let me change that. To the standard set by Adonai, our Creator. the one who creates all things, the one who has authority to create the rules for his creation, the one who sets the rules to live and die by. Father, we thank you that you have all authority. You are the King. You are the Lord. You are the Creator of all. And we want to be aligned with you. We want to be the ones who expel the sins from our lives. So we want to do this self-examination as often as it takes, daily, weekly, hourly, every moment. We want to be honest with ourselves, honest in knowing that we need your help by the Ruach, that there is the sin within us. We need to allow the Ruach to help us to see, help us to move. We need to put that effort into what we've seen, what has been shown. We don't want to be like the man in the mirror who turns and forgets what he looks like and doesn't do anything about what he had seen. We want to see. We want to see honestly. We want to see completely. And then we want to change. And we know that change can only be when we partner with the Ruach HaKodesh. We do not have the abilities to make the changes that our lives really need. As I said earlier, there are so many self-help books. If they really did help, we wouldn't need you, Adonai. But we do need you above all things. So we invite you into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds. Show us what it is that needs to be changed. And then help us to make those changes. We thank you and we praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.